Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, imagine this. It's a regular day before the pandemic. I know that might be hard to remember a regular day, but try your best. You went to work and you just did your job. And maybe you've been doing that job for a number of years now. You know your coworkers and they know you. And you have a level of respectability and trust there. Things are running pretty smoothly. Now, imagine that all of a sudden, someone you've never met walks in off the street and starts doing your job. He doesn't announce it or tell you that he's doing it. He just starts taking over. And he does it. One moment you step away, and then when you return, there he is. He's in your spot. He's talking to people that you normally talk to. He's doing things that you normally do. And to make matters worse, imagine that everyone there thinks that he's doing a better job at your job than you did. They're listening to him and paying attention to him. They're doing what he says. They're showing him a level of respect that they never showed you. And so you think, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who does this guy think he is? So you approach him. Excuse me. Who are you? When did you get hired here, and why do you think you can do my job? This is what the chief priests and scribes were feeling that day in Jerusalem. They were the ones in charge of life at the temple. They knew the people, and the people knew them. Maybe the people liked them, or maybe they didn't, but either way, they were the guys in charge. They kept order and maintained the busy life of the temple. Well, then, just about a day or two ago, this guy named Jesus of Nazareth came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people were flocking around him, saying, "Hosanna, save us!" Then he entered the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers. He cured some people who were lame and blind. He cursed an unfruitful fig tree, a symbol of your people, and then he comes into the temple and starts teaching everyone. Well, the chief priests and the elders are furious. Who does this guy think he is? What gives him the right to come in here, take over, and overturn things? Literally and metaphorically. And so they approach him. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? They want to know. Well, Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you the authority by which I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" Well, of course, they quickly realize that this is a trick question. If they say his authority was from God, Jesus will say, "Well, then why didn't you believe him?" If they say it was from the people, then the people will rebel, because they all considered John a prophet. So in other words, they know the answer is from God, but they don't want to say it. So they say, "We don't know." And Jesus basically says, "Well, if you can't figure that out, then my authority won't make any sense to you either." And with that, it sounds like the score is Jesus 1, temple leaders 0. And today we just sit back and nod our heads because we know Jesus has the authority. We know he's allowed to be in there and teach people. But let's stick with these temple leaders, though. Like them, how many of us really want Jesus to come in and mess up our way of doing things? If we're honest, we'll admit that we like our patterns and predictability and routines. We like knowing what to expect out of life. We like having things go our way. Well, but then, of course, COVID hit. And we all know what happened to our predictability and patterns then. Although we can't talk to the virus like we can a person, sometimes we do just want to say to it, what gives you the right to come in here and change things around? Who said you could mess up our lives like this? Jesus works much the same way. A number of weeks ago, I talked about how the kingdom of God is like a virus that takes over wherever it's planted. It's invasive and infectious and changes our entire lives. That's what Jesus does. And like the chief priests and elders and scribes, we don't like it. So then, how is this good news? Well, it's good news when your life needs to be messed up. Consider it like this. Last week, we heard that story of the laborers in the vineyard and how they all got paid the same amount. That parable shows up in the previous chapter here. Right after that story, James and John make their request to Jesus to sit next to him in his glory. Then Jesus shows his power and authority by healing some blind men. So throughout chapters 20 and 21, there is this theme of power and authority, and who has them and who doesn't. Well, remember, in the parable, the first hired questioned the authority of the landowner. How could he give to the last the same thing he gave to them? Here, the chief priests and scribes are questioning the authority of Jesus. How could he teach people like this? Doesn't he know that they're in charge, not him? But then consider it from the view of the last hired. They're the ones the landowner chose when all others passed them by. They're the ones who were given dignity and honor and respect by a landowner who treated them like everyone else. So that means that for some people, the message of Jesus is bad news. It disrupts their lives. It interrupts and messes up the way they normally do things, and they don't like it. But for other people, the message of Jesus is not only good news, it's the best news ever. They realize, or we realize, that even though we think we're in charge and have authority, we really don't. We admit that things do not always go the way we want. We've all learned that during this pandemic. And we confess that we are not the cream of the crop. Instead, we are the ones who get passed over and ignored. We are the ones who get hired last because no one else has chosen us. And so when Jesus chooses us, when he teaches us, when he says that we still matter, that is wonderful news. When he comes into our world and meets us where we are, that is amazing. Our world says that we don't matter. So we need Jesus to come into our world and mess it up and say that we do matter. That's why the people were listening to him in the temple that day. And that's why they connected to his story about the father and the two sons. Right? The father asked both of his sons to go work in the vineyard. One said he wouldn't go, but then changed his mind and went. The other said he would go, but then never did. When Jesus asked which of the two did the will of his father, they said the first. But notice what happened with that first son. Initially, he thought he had authority over his father. He thought he could decide how to run his life. Even though it seemed like the father had the attitude of, so long as you live under my roof, you'll obey my rules, the son had the attitude of, well, you're not the boss of me. He thought that if he didn't want to go work in the vineyard, he didn't have to. Well, but then he changed his mind. He realized that he is not in charge. The Father is. He does not have authority and power. The Father does. The second son told the father what he wanted to hear, but then he did his own thing. Yeah, I'll clean up my room. I'll do my homework. I'll set the table. But then he never does it. He thought he still had authority and power to decide his own life. Well, as Jesus said to the temple leaders, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. The tax collectors and prostitutes realize that they aren't in charge of their own lives. Jesus is. They are the ones who listen and obey. And so Jesus' welcome to them is wonderful news. They are people who had been passed over and ignored. They were people who were treated as less than. And yet they were the people who were called and accepted by Jesus. Just like us. Just like you. When we see that Jesus welcomes even us, when we see that he has that authority, then we give up our sense of control and we just do what he says. So imagine this. It's life during the pandemic. You're trying to do your job and take care of your family. You're doing your social distancing, you're wearing your mask, you're washing your hands, you're trying to deal with the normal stresses of life, plus all of the added stresses that 2020 has brought upon you. I mean, who would have thought that you would have lost your job this year to a virus? Who would have thought that you would be working from home for this long? Who would have thought that you would suddenly become an at-home teacher? Who would have thought that you would have to be away from your kids and your grandkids for this long? Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed and overworked. Maybe you're feeling bored and lonely. Maybe you just crave some sense of normal. But then, even when things don't feel normal, Jesus is still in your midst. He breaks in, and like a virus, he takes over. Yes, you still have your part to play, but now he is in your spot. And that is wonderful. So now, rather than saying, what are you doing, buddy? This is my job. Get out of here. Now you say, thank you, Jesus. I need you. You are the one in charge. You are the one with authority in heaven and on earth. So I will happily go into the vineyard for you. Just tell me what you want me to do. Whether it's first century Jerusalem or 2020 in America, the fact that Jesus is in charge is definitely good news. And so, in the name of the one with all authority and power, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.